chapter number 11. What a question. Someday. I think it's a soon day. I read something this morning or yesterday. We support Brother Mark Robinson with Jewish Awareness Ministries that we, Karen and I, went to Israel with. And he puts out a magazine, Israel's Messenger, and good articles in that. And he always writes an article, Shadows of the Tribulation. And I'm going to condense it down and put it as a flyer in the bulletin soon. But just tell you the gist of it. He said, in 1917 was the Balfour Declaration, where Lord Balfour declared that Palestine, what it was called then, the nation of Israel was called Palestine, would be a land for the Jews. 1917, the Balfour Declaration, which began the Zionist movement to get Israel as a separate state. May 14, 1948, that happened. 1967, 50 years after the Balfour Declaration, 1767, they got the wall. They were at the wall, was their words. They actually captured the Temple Mount. And bad mistake, but the prime minister at that time said, you know what, we're going to do a goodwill measure and we're going to give the Temple Mount to the Muslims. That was a terrible, hindsight is 22, terrible mistake. Amen. It's cost them a lot of lives and money because of it. But anyway, 1767, 50 years from 67 is guess what? 2017. Could it be that they get the Temple Mount back in 2017? The Bible says they're going to have a temple. But the temple is going to be during what? The tribulation. So if they get the temple, if they get the Temple Mount in 2017, you better start getting looking up. Amen. Amen. Anyway, you say the Lord's coming in 2017? He could come in 2016. He could come today. Nothing has to happen for the Lord to come. He could come at any time, and we're ready for him, praise God. And I hope you are today, just like the men sang. It's coming. Are you ready? Heaven or hell? There's no in-between. There's no second chances. When you die, you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And so you must be ready. You must be born again if you're going to heaven. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which were seen, which are seen, were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was found, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Lord, thank you this morning for the service and each one that's here. And we thank you most of all that you're here, because you promised to gather. When we're gathered in your name, you're with us, and we praise you for that. And we pray now, Lord, that you'd help us in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Faith is a word that we use a lot in the Christian life. It is probably more than any other word. We talk about faith, believing, those kind of things. The truth is, you have to have faith to believe the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You have to have faith to believe that. Right here it says in verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were formed. By God's word, they were formed. You have to have faith to believe that. And so faith is how you come to God, you come to the Bible. Faith is how you enter into the Christian life. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But the word faith is a very important word. It's synonymous in the Bible with words like assurance, belief, believing, trusting, fidelity. Those words. Webster's 1828 dictionary, which I refer to quite often because it gives Bible reference for the definitions. But it says to trust, to persuade, to draw towards anything, to conciliate, to believe, to obey. The assent of the mind to the truth, what is declared by another, resting on his authority and veracity without other evidence. And I like that because we rest our faith on that of another, God and his word, without other evidence. In other words, because God said it, that's good enough for us. It ought to be good enough for a Christian. Faith. Hebrews 11 is what's called the Hall of Faith, or Faith's Hall of Fame, some have called it. We see faith declared, what it is, and then we see it demonstrated in the lives of many Bible characters. Just a few, not all, but God uses some to really demonstrate that. And today I want to look at a few of the characteristics of faith from the chapter, but really I want to focus on the challenge of the endurance of faith. I heard a message the other night at the men's meeting on the endurance of faith, and I took notes on that message, and God's been stirring in my heart to preach on that subject. And so I'm taking some of you guys saying, are you going to preach what Brother Getch preached? Well, I can't preach like Brother Getch, but I'll do it better. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I'm just saying that stirred my heart because it so spoke to my heart, and I know it did some of the other men that were there, on the endurance of faith. First of all, we see the emphasis of faith in verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith is so emphasized in the Bible that God says right here, it's impossible. You cannot please God without faith. Now listen, that's anything you do if it's not with faith. Matter of fact, Romans chapter 14, 23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So faith is so important. The emphasis is you cannot please God without it. Faith is, number one, how we become a Christian. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Most of you could quote this very well. It's kind of like the Baptist National Anthem. But Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I believe that it is the gift refers to faith and salvation itself. But faith is how you enter in to the relationship with the Lord. Go with me also to Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter 3 is so emphasized here. Romans chapter number 3 and verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You can't keep the law and be saved. There are people, religions today, that believe you can. There are people that believe that you can keep the law of God and earn your way to heaven. But this verse settles it. You cannot. I mean, if you were trying to earn your way to heaven, this verse ought to settle it. You can't do it. But he goes on. He says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. God says, here's why you can't enter in to heaven by the law, is because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The law is like a mirror. It shows you your sin. You look in the mirror and it doesn't do anything for you. You can't clean yourself by looking in the mirror. You have to go to the basin. You have to wash your face. And when you look at yourself in God's law, the law can't save you. You have to go to Christ that saves you with his blood. He washes you of your sin. But it goes on. For all of sin, okay, 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, that's an important verse because it says this is how God could be just and the justifier of us that believe. Jesus Christ is the only way. God is just. But for him to maintain his holiness and his justice and still forgive us, something had to happen. Jesus was the someone that happened. He who knew no sin died for our sin. He didn't have any sin. He was perfect, and he died for our sin so that he could be just, God could be just, and the justifier. When you trust Christ as your Savior, He justifies us. It's He looks upon us as being righteous before Him. Verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. In other words, you can't brag about what you did to get to heaven. There's not going to be anybody in heaven walking around, I'm going to say, hey, I'm here because of, no. If you're in heaven, it's because of Jesus, period. That's it. And so here's the question. If you stood before God today and He says, why should I let you into my heaven? What would be your answer? You say, well, I'm a good church member. Wrong answer. I've been baptized. Doesn't matter if you've been baptized enough times in the river that you know every polywog's name in the river. You're not saved by baptism or works or any good thing you can do. It is only by grace through faith. Where's boasting? It's excluded. You can't brag about the fact that you did something to get saved. We brag on Jesus. By what law? Of works? Nay, by the works of faith, by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that man is justified by faith without the works of the law. And then he goes on in chapter 4 and he uses somebody that they would all love, Abraham, as an example of faith, how he trusted God by faith, looking forward to the cross. Looking forward. We look back on the cross as a finished event. They looked forward by faith. It's by faith they looked forward. It's by faith we look back. Nobody was there. Nobody here or the saved today was at Calvary. Nobody's seen that with your eyes. But we, by faith, we read it, we believe it, and we're saved by faith. So faith is how you enter into the Christian life. Number two, faith is how you live as a Christian. Colossians 2:6 says, as you've therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Faith is how we live as a Christian. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you were saved by grace through faith. We live our lives as a Christian through faith. We walk by faith, not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7. It takes faith to obey the Lord and His Word. It takes faith to believe. It takes faith to pray. If you're going to pray, you've got to have faith. Unless you're just talking, and you know, you might as well call me. But if you pray, it just doesn't much good. If you're not believing God, you got to by faith pray. We by faith pray. By faith we follow the Lord's leadership. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It takes faith to trust the Lord's leadership. It takes faith to give. To love. To forgive others. It takes faith. It takes faith to walk in victory. Faith is, according to Ephesians chapter 6, faith is our shield. The shield of faith. It takes faith to serve the Lord. It takes faith to serve. Look at John chapter number 6. John 6, verse 28. This is Jesus' disciples. And they say to Him, then said they unto Him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? In other words, they said, Lord, we want to work the works of God. We want to serve You. What do we do? You tell us, we'll do it. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. You want to work? You want to serve? God says you got to believe. Got to believe. So it's all about faith. Faith is how we enter into the Christian life. Faith is how we live as a Christian. So the emphasis of faith is there. And then we see the examples of faith back in Hebrews chapter 11. We don't have time to go through all of these examples. One of these days I'll preach through. I love preaching through the book of Hebrews 11. There's so many examples there of people that walk by faith. And we'll reference them in just a minute, a little bit more. But you got Abel there. You got Noah. You got Enoch. You got Abraham. You got Sarah. You got Moses' parents. You've got all these others that aren't even named that through faith obtained a good report. You know what I want when I get to heaven? I want a good report. You know, when I was a kid, I used to bring home report cards. Remember those? How many of you didn't want to bring any home, like me? You know, there was times when I was like, my mom and dad would say, where's the report card? And I'd say, what report card? See, they knew they were supposed to get one. It was report card time. What report? Oh, that report card. I'm hoping you'd forget about it. But when you don't have a good report, but when you got a good report, hey, look what I got. I remember a kid in our youth group one time at my last church. He changed an F to a B. He came to church. He said, I'm grounded for life. For the rest of my life, I'm never going anywhere. Oh, I want a good report. So do you. How do you get a good report? By faith. By faith. The examples of faith are from verse 2 all the way through to verse 40. There's examples of faith. But I want to spend most of our time talking about number 3, the endurance of faith. The endurance of faith. What is the endurance of faith? The apostles came to the Lord in Luke chapter 17 and they said, Lord, increase our faith. Now, what did they mean? What in the world did they mean? Do you need more faith? How many of you here today would say, I need more faith? You know what? I've got some big things that I'm praying for, and some of you do too. It would help if I had more faith. It would help if I... So, Lord, increase my faith. I can say that same thing to the Lord. Lord, increase my faith. What did they mean? What does it mean to have the endurance of faith? Well, let me show you something. It's not the amount. It's not the amount. Go to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. This is right after the Lord rebukes his disciples' faith because they couldn't cast out demons out of a child. And verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. I don't know if you've ever seen a mustard seed, but it's like powder. I mean, it's so tiny that a mustard plant, you could shake it, and it would look like powder in your hand. And God said, one of those seeds can enough faith, that amount can remove a mountain. So, it's not the amount we're talking about. Because the Lord said, just a teeny, 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 teeny bit of faith, and you could say to that mountain, remove mountain. And it'll be done. So it's not the amount. Now that, when I heard that and I got a hold of that, it was big to me. It really blew me out of the water like it did some of you right there. So what's he talking about? Increase our faith. He's talking about the endurance of faith. The endurance of faith. Let me give you another example. Go back a few pages to Matthew 14. Matthew 14, 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. This is right after he had fed the 5,000, or probably 25,000, with the boys' lunch. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the even was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Peter walked on the water to Jesus. Now, I don't know about you. To me, I think that would take quite a bit of faith to walk on water. Can I get a witness? You know, we recently were there and we went on the Sea of Galilee. It was really nice and we were there, but nobody got out of the boat. And it was a nice, calm day. Nobody got out of the boat. I didn't get out of the boat. Nobody got out of the boat. Why? Because it would take a lot of faith to get. I don't care if Jesus is standing there. It would take a lot of faith. And Jesus says, O thou of what? Little faith. Wait a minute, Peter. I think you have quite a bit of faith. And we dog Peter oftentimes. You know, hey, listen. Yeah, he sunk. Didn't get, got his eyes. He's the only one that got out of the boat, let me remind you. And they walked back. Doesn't say Jesus carried him back. They walked back. I believe they walked back. He had great faith, but Jesus said he had little faith. What didn't he have? He didn't have the endurance of faith. He didn't have the endurance of faith. You know what we need? We need endurance. We need enduring faith. Karen and I are reading the Bible in the morning and going through the Kings right now, and we see, and you've read that, where you see, and so-and-so did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and you think, oh, wow, here's a good guy, and then all of a sudden he blows it. You know, but he didn't tear down the high places or something. You know, he didn't have enduring faith. What about David? He blew it. What about Solomon? He blew it. What didn't they have? They didn't have enduring faith. What about Elijah? Hey, Elijah went up to Mount Carmel. I'm talking about that guy. He was great. He called. He walked in. Nobody told him to do this. God didn't tell him to do it. He walked in and stuck his finger in Ahab, the king's face, and said, it's not going to rain for 3 years, by my word. And guess what? Didn't rain. 3.5 years. Then he, on Mount Carmel, slew all the prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of Baal, after calling down fire from heaven on the altar. Great faith, right? Yes. Next chapter, running from a woman. God, kill me. Take away my life. I'm having a pity party. What didn't he have? Didn't have enduring faith. We need enduring faith. How do you have enduring faith? How do we have enduring faith? Well, you're in Hebrews 11. Go to Hebrews 12. Just keep reading. I want to finish strong. I want you to finish strong. By the way, it's not how long you live, it's how you live. We find guys in this book, in Hebrews chapter 11, that didn't live very long. I'm reading a missionary biography, a story of many missionaries that died young in their service to the Lord, but they died full. It's not how long you live, it's how you live. Enduring faith. You need faith to endure. We're not talking about the mount. We're not talking about the length of time. It's a full faith. How to have enduring faith. Chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. How to have enduring faith. Number one, realize we have witnesses that are cheering us on. Chapter 12 speaks of we're encompassed with a great cloud of witnesses. Who's he talking about there? He's talking about those faithful people that he just talked about in Hebrews chapter 11. They show us, were they perfect people? No. Absolutely not. Matter of fact, God tells the truth on him. Noah, after he did that great thing of, you know, believing God, 120 years, built an ark, you know, after the ark lands and he goes out and does a sacrifice and then grows some grapes and makes wine and gets drunk and blows it. Not perfect people, but faithful people. And they show us that you can run the race by faith and get a good report. We've got a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. And I believe from other passages of Scripture, there's verses in Revelation. There's a verse that says in heaven, when somebody's saved in heaven, they're rejoicing in the presence of angels. Doesn't say the angels are rejoicing. How many times have you heard that? Well, the angels are rejoicing. That's not what it says. Read your Bible. It says there's rejoicing in the presence of angels. That lets me know, friend, that those believers who've gone on to be with the Lord, they know a little bit about what's going on down here. I don't know how much they know. We're not sure how much they know, but they're part of that great cloud of witnesses. They're cheering us on in the walk of faith. They're cheering us on. They've run the race. These guys here in Hebrews, they've run the race. So remember, hey, listen, how to have enduring faith. Think about those who've gone on before. Man, I've got these are heroes. I love reading the Old Testament, the stories and the accounts of the heroes of the Old Testament. They're there for our learning. But I love reading Christian biographies. Listen, I've got some heroes in my life that there's not been books written about them, but they're heroes. I know people that pray for us every day. You wouldn't know them. Doesn't really matter. God knows them. They're heroes. I've got some heroes in Sudan that don't even have their own house or living in tents. And their faith, they're a hero to me. They encourage me. They ought to encourage us to know that others have run on. They've won the race. They've run. They've got their reward. They've gone on. That great cloud of witnesses encourages us as we're running. That helps us to have the endurance of faith. Second thing is, and it's right here in verse 1, get rid of anything that would hinder us from running. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Now, what is a weight? It's something that's going to hinder you from running properly. May not be a sin. Matter of fact, it's not a sin necessarily, because he mentions the sin next, and I'll deal with that in just a minute. But he says, a weight. Now, you all find this really hard to believe, but I used to run track. Okay? I only ran track until baseball started, because I wanted to get out of class. And so, you know, we get to go on track meets and stuff. But I used to run track, and I ran high hurdles. That's hilarious. It was hilarious watching me run high hurdles. They didn't take any points off for knocking down hurdles, but I would knock down every other hurdle. And I ran with guys. I'd stand there, and they would look down at me like, what are you doing here? Waiting for baseball. But anyway, so, but we'd go to the track meet with sweats on and ankle weights. How many of you remember ankle weights? I don't know what they use now. They probably don't use ankle weights. But anyway, there were weight bags that had a Velcro strap that went around your ankles. And we wore tennis shoes. But before the meet, before you got ready to run, you know, you're running around, you know, warming up like all the other dudes were, you know. And then before the run, you take off the sweats. You got those flimsy gym shorts, shiny things, you know. But anyway, and then you put on track shoes, which were, I didn't even know what a track shoe was. I'm really country and redneck, you know. When they gave me track shoes, I said, where's the rest of it? Because, you know, I thought something's missing on this shoe, but that's all there was. And then you take off the ankle weights. Why? Because those things would hinder you from running. If I ran high hurdles with my sweats on, it'd be more than missing the hurdle. I mean, I'd hit the ground, right? Because something would catch me. And, you know, in the Christian race, there's things that'll hinder you. I don't know what it is for you. It may be you watch too much TV. It may be you play too many video games. It may be you've got a stronghold. Richard and I were talking about football before. He said, I tape games now. I used to watch them before I was, you know, walking with the Lord. Whoa, good example. Thank you for that, brother. I appreciate that. But that's true. In other words, listen, some people are hindered by football. If you miss church to watch football, that's a weight. You need to get rid of that. You're not going to win the race. When you get to heaven, God's not going to say, I appreciate you watching the Cowboys that Sunday. You know, they're doing really good this. No. It's all about running the race. The weight. I need to move on because some of you are getting really nervous. But what is the weight? It's anything that hit. It could be a habit. Listen, it could be a person. It could be a person that's hindering you from running the race. What is? And then he says, the sin which doth easily beset us. So there's weights, and then there's sin. You need to confess known sin. That's another thing. How to have enduring faith. Remember and realize there's others watching us, cheering us on. You got to get rid of anything that keep you from running. You got to confess known sin. And it may be a particular sin, because the definite article is there in front of the word sin. The. So it may be that sin that keeps coming up in your life that's holding you back. For me, it's pride. I'm confessing. It is. You know what? I thought about it. I thought, Lord, what is that one sin? I think it's pride. Why? Well, somebody says something you don't like and you bow up. That's pride. Your wife says something and you don't like it. What do? You bow up. That's pride. I got to confess it. I'm telling you right now, I'm studying and the humility of Jesus. It's helping me. But pride, Could be anger. Could be lust. Could be something. The sin that easily besets you. You know what? I don't have to name anything. Let the Holy Spirit name it. But you won't run successfully. You won't have enduring faith if you don't deal with that sin or the sin. Confess known sin. You say, yeah, Lord, you can have my life, but just confess it. Get rid of it. And then commit to the long haul. The latter part of that verse says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Commit for the long haul. The Christian life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. You came into the Christian life, it's a long haul. Commit to the long haul. Commit that you're going to live for Jesus the rest of your life. I was praying with a guy at the mission the other day, and he's honest. I said, you willing to commit your life to Jesus? He says, I don't know about that. It's a long time. Well, he's honest. A lot of people say it and don't mean it. But it's commit to the long haul. Are you committed to the Lord? It's not a sprint. It's a endurance. That word patience, run with patience, it means, guess what? Endurance. That's what it means, endurance. And then here's the biggest thing. Keep your eyes on Jesus. This is the key to victory and an enduring faith is a Christ-centered life. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He says, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our what? Faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ endured the cross, despising the shame. Listen, it was a terrible thing that Jesus Christ went through for you and I. He despised it. It was hard for him. He endured the cross. Yet he did it because he looked past the cross to you and I. He looked past the cross to those millions that will be in heaven because of him. He looked past the cross. Listen, you got to look past what you're going through and keep your eyes on Jesus. And the Bible says to look unto Jesus. That means look away from everything else and focus on Jesus Christ. You know, I say it, you said it, you've heard it said, keep your eyes on Jesus. Got your eyes off of Jesus. Well, it's true. We get our eyes off of Jesus. What did Peter do? He got his eyes off of Jesus. He did. He was walking just fine. Faith? Yes. Enough? Yes. Enduring? No. Why? Because he got his eyes off of Jesus. You and I know people that got saved. They walked with the Lord. They're not walking with the Lord now. What happened? Got their eyes off Jesus. Somebody made him mad. Somebody offended him. Maybe your mom and dad made you mad. Maybe your sister made you mad. Maybe one of your other church members made you mad. Get over it. Get your eyes back on Jesus. You got to get your. If you're going to win the race, I'm talking about how to have enduring faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Remember what he did for us. He despised the shame, endured the cross. Look at this, verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Listen, Jesus Christ, he was ridiculed, spat upon, beaten, all of those things. And Paul says right here, verse 4, ye have not resisted under blood, striving against sin. He did, but you haven't. So you don't understand what I'm going through. It's not like Jesus has gone through. Nothing. Keep our eyes on Jesus and realize what he did for us and realize what he's doing for us. You know what he's doing for us? Hebrews 7:25 says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Right now, Jesus Christ is praying for us. It's what he's doing. That encourages me to know that he's praying for me. Hey, listen, you say I'm praying for you. I tell Brother Randy I've been praying for him and I have been praying for him. But the truth is, Jesus is praying for him and I'm praying for him. Or he's praying for me and Jesus is praying for us. He ever lives to intercede for us. That encourages me to keep on going. Yes, it's tough sometimes. Yes, I can get my eyes off of the Lord. And yet, it's so easy to do that, but we got to keep focused on him, and we'll have that enduring faith. And then lastly, the evidence of faith. You see, if you have enduring faith, you're going to have evidence. What's the evidence? Well, the evidence is what comes out of that faith. James chapter 2, verse 20 says, but wilt thou, O vain man, faith know? Faith without works is dead. You say, if you have faith and you don't have works to prove it, it's not real faith. It's not Bible faith. But the evidence of faith is given to us in Hebrews chapter 11. You don't have to look far. We've got examples. Abel. Now listen, Abel didn't live long after he did what he did. The Bible says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Abel offered to God this acceptable sacrifice, and he died because of it. He became the first martyr. There's been a lot of people just like Abel that were slain because of their good works and their faith in Jesus Christ. So there again, it's not how long you live, it's how you live. Abel didn't live long after his works, his evidence of faith was given. What about Noah? You know, most of you know his story. 120 years, he built an ark. Do you realize that it never had rained? God told him to build an ark. It had never rained. He didn't know what rain was. It had never rained. That's faith, my friend. That's enduring faith. The evidence, an ark. An ark. You can go to Cincinnati and see one that they built over there. Cost 80-something million dollars to do it. I would have spent $80 million on missions. But anyway, I'm not Ken Ham. But I'm just saying, faith didn't build that ark. Money built that ark. Noah built his by faith. He endured the evidence of faith. Abraham set out to find a city whose builder and maker was God. God says, Abraham, let's go. Where are we going? I'll tell you when we get there. He didn't tell him. He did now because he found that city. We know he found that city, but by faith he obtained a good report. Why? Because he followed God. Evidence of faith. Now, let me ask this. What's your evidence? Can you look at a recent answered prayer to where you say, God did that and not me? Or, God did that and I did not help him? You know, we help God. But can you look and say, you know what? By faith I prayed, and by faith God did this. He showed up. You know, we've got things in our lives that we're praying for that we need endurance. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep living. Keep going on for the Lord. Get rid of what's hindering you from running. Keep praying. Keep believing. We had enough faith to get saved. Had enough faith to follow the Lord. Had enough faith to... Hey, listen, some of you may have been saved, but you haven't had enough faith to follow the Lord in baptism. You know, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10 that when you confess me before my Father, when you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. But when you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. That's what it says, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. It takes faith to step out. The endurance of faith. Some of you may have not seen God do anything in your life recently. Saved? Yeah. Enduring? No. You know what? The good thing about it is you can get back where you need to be. God is a God of second chances. I want to tell you, God's a God of a lot more than second. Hundreds of chances. Praise God. What must you do? Go back to John 6 again. Actually, just look on your bulletin. It's on the back of the bulletin. Look at it. What do you got to do? God is ready to show himself strong in your life, in my life, in the life of this church. What do you got to do? Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Hasn't changed. We've got to believe. What do you want to? You want to do great things for God? Believe. Got to have the endurance of faith. Bigger faith? No. More faith? No. Just keep believing. You see, faith is as big and good as the object in which it's placed. And a little faith placed in a big God is a lot of faith. Amen. Endurance of faith. I hope this helped you. It really helped me. Amen. If you're here today and you're not saved, God has given to every man the measure of faith. You have enough faith to believe that Jesus died for your sins, that he rose again, and that he'll save you when you call upon him. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You just got to put your name there. You've got enough faith to believe. It's not, well, I need to learn more. No, you don't. You just need to believe what God said. He said, if you call, he would save you. It's simple faith. Trust in him. That's why he said, children, it's as easy. You got to come as a child. You got to confess that you need him. You got to humble yourself and come and believe what he said. He'll save you just like that. And then as Christians, some of us need to get back where we were at one time, walking with the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the privilege to preach one more time. And thank you for this